So in this video, I would just like to welcome back Karen once again, and we're going to have what I hope you're going to find to be quite an interesting discussion. This is just a conversation, and it's one that I would always have in the early stages of a coaching relationship, and it's just a conversation. There's no script here. This is us now just going on a bit of a fact-finding mission. So the attitude that I'll be taking towards Karen is one of intrigue. I'm going to be sticking on my Sherlock Holmes hat once again, and I'm going to be quizzing Karen on relatively compassionately about her past. So we've looked at Karen's past up until now. We've explored her past, her present, where she sees her future. And we know that we can use exercises such as that for getting quick and quite loose shifts in perspective. But the purpose of this conversation is actually about helping Karen to grow in self-awareness and better understand her past. Are you with me? So it might seem the same, but it's actually just a minor distinction here, but actually will make a far, far greater impact than just understanding her past, her present, and her future. There's a principle that I learned back in the time when I was serving in the army. I was part of this recce team. Recce teams would generally, on exercise, or if we were working overseas somewhere, they would go first. Right, so a recce team would always take new territory, take new ground, go where no man or woman had gone before, to evaluate the terrain, to evaluate and assess any potential threat, if there was enemy. The principle is, especially in war, to know thine enemy. When we do not know the enemy, we've got no idea what we're actually coming up against or what we're working against. And in exactly the same way, when we do not understand our pasts and how our pasts are influencing our present, we're never going to fully appreciate the misinterpretations that we've made of our past life events and how they are holding us back. So what I'm going to suggest is that we all have an enemy in life, and sometimes our worst enemy is actually ourselves, as we sometimes sabotage our best intentions. Granted, we can have all of the most grandiose and fantastic goals in life, but if we don't understand how the enemy within sabotages these goals, and why the enemy within sabotages these goals, and where the enemy within learned to start sabotaging these goals, we're never going to be free from the enemy within. This is just simply part of the process of growing in self-awareness. Cool. The enemy within, Karen.
The enemy within.
So having heard all about this, all right, is there some sort of pattern or behavior that you can just see has kind of been the thorn in your side for pretty much anything up to a lifetime? A behavior or a habit or an attitude, something that just consistently sabotages your best intentions?
Yeah, definitely. I think we touched on it the other day where I would tend to withdraw from people, from putting myself forward for new challenges. Withdrawing is a habit.
Withdrawing for you was a habit.
Yep.
It's quite ironic. I mean, just as a husband and wife tag team going on here, where Karen had learned to withdraw, all right, I learned from a very, very young age to always put myself forward. All right, where I was desperately trying to fit in and be included, I would do so by getting in people's faces and putting myself out there. Karen, you were withdrawing and holding back. For what purpose?
For fear of putting myself out there and fear of other people's perspective, opinion, approval, really.
So you wanted approval?
Yeah, I wanted approval from other people. And I thought that the best way to get that approval was by not offending, not putting myself out there, not being honest, but by reserving who I actually was.
So you wanted approval. Why is it you would say that you even needed approval? What was it that led you to believe that you needed approval?
What led me to believe that I needed approval?
Where did you learn this? Where did you learn that in life we actually need approval from other imperfect human beings?
I remember I spoke about it previously, about the experience of losing my dad when I was younger. And I can remember withdrawing in that situation, through really wanting to maintain my family's approval. So I withdrew from the experience that was going on, and that being actually my losing my dad, and was riddled with fear that I couldn't be honest, I couldn't be upset, I couldn't be real in the experience, because I wanted to try and keep my family happy. I wanted to have their approval.
And at what point in life before then did you learn that that was something you needed to do?
Oh yeah, there's oh, another memory, yeah, of a time before that where I remember I was really young and I broke my arm, and I can remember being so embarrassed about this plaster cast that I had on my arm, and I wanted to hide it from, at the time, what was important to me was my ballet class. I remember being so embarrassed about this broken arm, really ashamed, and that I was just different from everyone else and that wasn't okay. I needed to be the same as other people.
Who told you that it wasn't okay?
I don't remember anyone telling me that it wasn't okay. I assumed that.
You just assumed?
Yeah.
How did that work out for you in the years that followed?
It didn't work out at all.
It didn't work out at all?
No.
Oh dear. Oh dear, anyway. It's interesting, isn't it? Now this is just a conversation. Now we could have gone all therapeutic and all that kind of thing on you here, but the funny thing about memories is that we all have them. It's not like we can't remember things that have happened to us in the past, we just sometimes need to know the direction in which to look. Sometimes people get fearful and apprehensive and scared of stepping out and doing the things that they really want to do in the future, but it's only because we've been, at some point in the past, we've learned to be apprehensive or fearful of those things. So if we want to become more effective in the future, we've got to learn to overcome and sever the things that are holding us back from the past.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So what would you say is holding you back?
Today?
Yeah. Or what has held you back up until now?
What's held me back? There's this fear, need, which I'm getting much better at managing, but at times it still crops up, to perform for other people or to meet other people's expectations.
So just to get clear here, what's actually held you back from doing the things that you really want to do with your life? It's just been a feeling.
Yeah, my own thoughts and feelings. Yeah.
A feeling. So has anything actually held you back?
No, nothing's held me back. No.
The feelings, are feelings like tangible, real things, or do they just come and go?
They just come and go.
So what's actually held you back in actuality, in reality?
My feelings have held me back.
Have they actually held you back?
They haven't held me back. I've allowed my feelings to hold me back. So nothing tangible has actually held me back, no.
All right, cool. So see, when you're holding back, all right, how would you define that person? How would you define that person who's not pursuing the things that they want to do in life?
Scared, timid. These days now, I would look down on that person.
You'd look down on that person?
Yeah. Dishonest as well.
Dishonest? That's interesting. Why do you say that?
Because holding back at times for me means holding back truth and honesty in my relationships, being honest with other people.
If you're holding back being honest and being truthful with people, does that mean then that you're being valuable for people, or you're not being valuable for people, or?
It means I'm not being valuable for people. I'm not offering them anything.
And what is it you actually want?
What I actually want is to be of value to people. To be to make a difference for them.
And how are you being that person today?
Today, I'm getting much better at being honest with people, and not holding back, about taking risks and where I see I can, being honest and offering my experience or the lessons that I've learned from the past in order to share with them.
It seems though there's still something holding you back though.
At times, I'll repeat the habit of the past and hold back.
You'll repeat the habit of the past.
Yeah.
What was it you would say then? So habits are generally kind of like attached to learnings, you know, things we've learned about ourselves, aren't they? If we learn that we're really good at something, of course we're going to do it loads. If we've learned that we're not good at something, we'll most likely hold back from doing that. So what is it that you've learned about yourself at some point in the past that's perhaps triggered this chain reaction of you holding yourself back? What's your enemy? The greatest enemy we can sometimes have is the stories that we tell ourselves or the lessons that we think we've learned. Sometimes we can believe things that aren't true are true.
No, I'm not sure.
I'll look and see. Be as articulate as you can.
Yeah. I think, like, I'm not sure if this actually answers the question, but there is a... I feel like when I'm operating in that way and
what do you mean by that, sorry?
When I choose to hold back and repeat patterns of the past rather than be honest and be myself. I'm governed by this fear of wanting to get it right for people, wanting their approval rather than just being myself. I'm just being completely honest.
Wanting to get it right.
Wanting to get it right for people, yeah.
How is it you'll get it right for people? Or is it people? What is it people are saying is right?
Well, actually, what people actually would say is right is me being myself and being honest.
Who would say that?
That's what.
Who specifically would say that?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Bingo. Right, we'll stop there. All right. I'm not sure if you're aware of what I was doing there. All I was pretty much doing was I was just responding to pretty much everything that Karen said, right? Every assumption that I heard came out of Karen's mouth. every thought, every feeling. I started off quite subtly, all right? And then as the conversation evolved, I just got a little bit harder, a little bit harder, a little bit more focused, a little bit more focused. And what you've just experienced in Karen is what we'd refer to in Scotland as a wibble. All right? What Karen has just done, Karen has just completely, she's now in a place questioning her old way of looking at things. All right, so what Karen has possibly come to recognise now, you know, in fact, I'll ask Karen, how valid would you say are your assumptions, opinions, your outlook on life?
Most of the time, completely invalid. Completely inaccurate.
Completely inaccurate.
Lead you down the garden path.
Completely lead you down the garden path. So, how much would you be willing to trust your perception moving forward? Because it seems to me that up until now, you've relied heavily on your perception, the assumptions that you've made, the thoughts that you've thought, your beliefs, all this kind of stuff. how much would you be really willing to trust those things moving forward if you are in fact hoping to be more effective in the future than what you've been in the past, especially in the context of your relationships?
No, I wouldn't be willing to trust it. My perception.
So you would therefore then be open to considering some new ideas?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
On a level of 1 to 10, 1 being not at all, 10 being massively, how much more aware are you now of yourself?
Throughout.
Just a very, very light, not a complex question, but are you more aware of yourself or less aware of yourself?
Much more aware.
Much more aware of yourself.
Yeah.
Now, what we're not saying is that this is a really complex thing. All this was just a simple truth-based discussion. That's all it was. Not a technique, not a process, just a conversation. I, as the coach, are coming from a place of intrigue. My goal is to help Karen to grow in self-awareness. Knowing fine well that the more that Karen can see about herself, more than likely, her desire to change and continue to grow is just going to keep on growing, all right? Which is just about me really continuing to nurture and invest into the early stages of the coaching relationship that's going to hopefully help Karen remain committed to the course. All right, so in the additional materials section of this lecture, we've put together a mini exercise for you that we're now going to invite you to work through on your own. It's called How Present Is My Past? All right, so this is going to now involve you doing a little bit of self-reflection on your own life and just simply work through the questions to see if you can identify how it is that some of your past perceptions, assumptions, beliefs that you've developed in yesteryear are actually impacting you and possibly even holding you back from doing the things that you really want to be doing more of today. This is just a self-awareness exercise, and is also one that if you work through, I'm going to urge you to build this into your repertoire of life coaching resources moving forward, and at the earliest convenience, share this with other people. You're going to be qualified to do this because you yourself have gone there first. You with me? Karen, how'd you find that discussion?
Interesting. Yeah, it's quite... To say out loud, you know, the biggest problem is a feeling that's holding me back is
sounds a little bit insane,
sort of a slap
it?
In the face.
So there's nothing tangible or nothing real holding you back, just a feeling lives inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not the victim here.
I'm not the victim.
There's no perpetrators out there.
No.
Is there going to be a hero that's going to come along and save you?
No.
So who is going to be your hero?
I will be my hero.
You will be your hero. Fantastic. And in the same way, you can go on to be yours. So download the resource, give it a work through, 10 to 15 minutes, and we'll look forward to seeing you again in the next clip.